Well, hello. This is Bob Sutherland from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from a number of sources, Wall Street Journal being the dominant one, but from the business section of the News and Observer, and perhaps we can get to the Triangle Business Journal. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They've served our community since 1974, and they can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Well, stocks get off to a strong start in 18. The Dow Jones Industrial Average notched its best start in a year since 2003 as further signs of a solid economic backdrop helped push stocks to new highs during the first week. The strong start to 18 builds on last year's remarkable gains, which were powered by investors' optimism over the global economy and a belief that central banks won't hurt markets and economic growth by withdrawing stimulus too quickly. The S&P 500 posted four fresh records in four consecutive trading sessions in the past week, rising 2.6%, its biggest weekly gain since December of 16, and its best start to the year since 06. The Dow, which catapulted above 25,000 for the first time this past Thursday, ended up the week at 2.3%, its best four-day start to the year since 03. On Friday, the Dow rose 220.74 points, or 0.9%, to a record close of 25,295.87. The S&P gained 19.16 points, or 0.7%, to close at 2743.15. The NASDAQ composite also ended the week at a record, adding 58.64 points, or 0.8%, on Friday to 71.36.56 as technology stocks continued to rise sharply. Tech companies in the S&P 500 ended the week 4.2% higher, making the sector one of the best performing groups in the index. And we may read an article a little later alluding to that. While we're on the market, we'll talk about Treasury yields. Here's one that says higher Treasury yields have a bright side for the markets. There could be serious problems in financial markets if long-term interest rates rise in 18. There could be serious problems if they don't. Since it became clear that the Republican tax plan was going to become law, Treasury investors have been a bit more nervous, but just a little. The yield on the 10-year Treasury rose to its highest level since March on concerns that tax cuts could heat the economy up, but fell to end the year at 2.41%, about where it started. Indeed, after getting head-faked so many times over the past several years, betting on yields going higher can't come easily. While there are good arguments for higher yields, there are good ones for them staying low also. The argument for higher yields goes something like this. The U.S. economy already was in good shape, and now the tax cut is going to boost growth. Unemployment will continue to fall, wages will rise, and with an assist from a healthy global economy, inflation will start to pick up. That will push Fed policymakers to raise rates more than the three times they expect in 18. Worries about additional Treasury supply hitting the market should take hold as the Fed continues to shrink its balance sheet and as the government issues more debt as a result of the just enacted tax cuts. The wage outlook does get brighter. Rising wages have been one important missing element of the economic expansion. Now there's evidence worker pay will start to pick up. December was another solid month for employment, with the Labor Department reporting on Friday that the economy added 148,000 jobs, but it is also clear that hiring is slowing. The slower pace may be more a reflection of supply than demand. With the unemployment rate at a low 4.1% in December versus 4.7% a year earlier, it is harder for companies to find qualified workers. The good news in the numbers was wages. Average hourly earnings were up 2.5% in December versus a year earlier, hewing to a trend that has been in place for over 2 years. But December of 16 was a strong month, meaning last month needed to be strong to match that pace. On a monthly basis, hourly earnings gained 0.3% in December from a month earlier, on the high end of recent monthly gains. Wages increased just 0.1% in November. Now, there's good evidence that January will be relatively strong also. The corporate tax cut is giving businesses more wherewithal to compete with each other for workers. In a recent report, Strategic Gas Research listed 79 U.S. companies that publicly announced they were giving out bonuses, increasing wages, or taking other employee-friendly steps since the tax cut passed into law. And minimum wage levels were just boosted in several big states, including California and New York. The Koch brothers can be blamed for warping politics with a flood of anonymous donations, but you've got to give them credit for gumption. The Koch brothers backed groups Americans for Prosperity and its branch aimed at young people, Generation Opportunity, are complaining about Governor Roy Cooper's use of a tax break incentive to attract new businesses to North Carolina. A spokeswoman for Generation Opportunities said the group may post ads on social media protesting the incentives as corporate welfare. She told the News Observer, quote, "Corporate welfare is a taxpayer money being given to rich businesses, which takes away from people who are struggling to make it," unquote. Now, this from a group that applauds sweeping cuts in federal and state taxes on corporations and wealthy individuals. North Carolina's incentives have been carefully targeted and effective. The tax breaks only apply if the eligible company actually delivers on jobs and capital investment. That's a more constructive approach than raining tax breaks on corporations and the wealthy and hoping a bit trickles down to people who are struggling to just make it. More debt, a downside to the 401k. Automatic enrollment has pushed millions of people who weren't previously saving for retirement into 401k-style plans, but many of these workers appear to be offsetting those savings over the long term by taking on more auto and mortgage debt than they otherwise would have. The finding from a new study from academic economists known for their work on retirement plans answers a question that has concerned supporters of auto enrollment since the 1980s, when some employers began putting workers into the 401k plans and giving them the option to drop out. Now, that's rather than requiring them to sign up on their own. While many employers assume that new hires who are swept into 401k adjust by spending less, some people actually do that. Now, this is particularly lower income savers. They take on debt to compensate for the loss of the take home pay as a result of the deduction for the 401k. Now, it seems logical that some of the benefits of auto enrollment, that's automatic enrollment, are offset by increases in debt, which is what this study tells us, said Steve Utkus, a principal at the Vanguard Group, which manages more than $990 billion in 401k assets. Now, the good news, he and others say, is that the study finds no evidence that people who are automatically enrolled are running up more credit card debt than employees who are required to sign up for a 401k on their own. Nor is the extra debt auto-enrolled employees take on causing their credit scores to deteriorate. Some of the added debt, that's particularly mortgage debt, may even boost participants' net worth over the long run, the study says. A quote here is, "Our conclusion is that people who are automatically enrolled do eventually take on more debt." That's said by co-author James Choi, a professor of finance at Yale School of Management. But he goes on to say, "But they don't take on more of the kind of debt that would be clearly worrisome, such as credit card debt, second mortgage loans, or installment loans." This is from the business section of the News and Observer. Headline, "Overall, North Carolina is great in the job study. Despite its growth and possibilities, North Carolina might not be a job seeker's paradise." That's what a recent ranking of the nation's best places to find a job suggests. Anyway, no North Carolina city made the top third on the list of the more than 180 cities that Wallet Hub compared across 26 categories measuring job strength, job market strength. The state's top spots, that is Raleigh and Charlotte, ranked 65th and 68th, respectively. Durham was 96, and they were the only other North Carolina location to break the top 100. That's a pretty significant turnaround from May, when Indeed ranked Raleigh the third best city in the United States for job seekers, and Charlotte 19th. The Wallet Hub study considered 26 metrics related to job markets and socioeconomics, including job opportunities, economic growth, job satisfaction, housing affordability, and family friendliness. Four of the top five cities on the list are suburbs of Phoenix. Chandler, number one, Scottsdale, number two, Peoria, number four, and Gilbert. San Francisco came in third. Other North Carolina cities making the list were Winston-Salem, ranked 149th, Greensboro, 153rd, and Fayetteville, 170th. Wallet Hub is a personal finance website that also regularly releases surveys and research reports on various topics. Well, from the Wall Street Journal, the tax report section says overhaul gives a lift to college savings plans. Education savings accounts and Americans who can benefit from using them are big winners in the recent tax overhaul. New curbs on state and local tax deductions will make these tax-sheltered 529 accounts more attractive. Many people will also benefit from a change that now allows assets in these plans to be used to pay elementary and high school tuition. In addition, 529 account assets can be transferred to 529 ABLE accounts. These accounts offer tax-favored savings for people with disabilities without affecting eligibility for benefits such as Medicaid. The recent tax changes expanded the benefits for 529 plans, which are already highly popular with middle and upper-income families, so said Mark Kantrowitz, a college savings analyst in Chicago who tracks 529 account features. These accounts, which are named after a section of the tax code enacted two decades ago, allow savers to contribute dollars after federal taxes have been paid on them. The assets are then invested and can increase free of federal and state taxes. Withdrawals are tax-free if they are used to pay eligible education expenses such as college tuition, books, and often room and board. Well, Wells Fargo, they have earned a new problem from the bank's overseers. Banking regulators in mid-17 downgraded one part of a secret assessment of Wells Fargo's health and strength. That's according to people familiar with the decision. The assessment, known as a bank's CAMELS score, that's an acronym, CAMELS score, ranks a firm on a variety of measures, including capital, management, and liquidity. That's where CAMEL comes from. The scores are confidential and can affect the level of insurance payments a bank must make, as well as the level of regulatory oversight of a firm. The reduction in the management component of Wells Fargo's CAMEL score, which hasn't been previously reported, reflected concerns about Wells Fargo's management and its ability to manage risk, so said people familiar with the decision. The downgrade occurred as Wells Fargo continued to grapple with issues related to how it treats customers after the revelation last year in September of the years of improper sales practices. The methods resulted in potentially 3.5 million accounts open without customers' knowledge. Elsewhere in the bank, more than 550,000 auto loan and mortgage customers were potentially overcharged for products for years as well. Regulators' concerns focus on the bank's overall approach to catching and preventing problems that can harm customers. OCC, which is the Office of Comptroller of the Currency, has been weighing a new enforcement action against the bank related to such risk controls. That's according to people familiar with the matter. A decision could be made in coming weeks and is likely to result in an enforcement action, these people said. If this happens, Wells Fargo may be required to pay tens of millions of dollars as part of the settlement. Wells Fargo's spokeswoman declined to comment on the bank's CAMEL ratings or any potential OCC actions. Well, Go Triangle now offers Uber-esque service in the RTP. Go Triangle has replaced its shuttle routes in RTP with an on-demand service that allows people to call or use an app to summon a ride. The service, called Go On Demand, is available Monday through Friday from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening throughout the RTP, and through June, it's free. Go On Demand replaces shuttles that circulated through RTP during peak commuting hours in the morning and late afternoon. That service averaged 120 passengers per weekday. Go Triangle hopes the on-demand service will attract about 200 riders a day, even as it puts fewer miles on the shuttle buses. Spokesman says, "We believe that with new technology, we can create a more attractive service that is more useful to people in the RTP area." John Talmadge, who directs Go Triangle's Regional Services Development Department, said in a statement. He goes on to say, from the operating side, it means we won't be running buses when there isn't demand, and it gets riders to their destinations more quickly. Talmadge expects some riders will use the shuttles as part of their daily commute to go between their office and a bus stop. Some people who live on the edge of RTP may even use it to go between home and work. Others will use it to run errands and get lunch during the day. Riders will have to wait 15 to 30 minutes for the shuttle to arrive, according to Go Triangle, but they can schedule rides in advance. A $5 million grant to Duke University will enable students and faculty to work more closely with the World Wildlife Fund. That's a conservation group best known for its work to protect endangered species. The $5 million that investor Jeff Ubin and his wife, Laurie, gave the Nicholas School has already supported internships and a trio of Ph.D. students. And in 1819, it will allow a group of undergraduates, graduate students, and professors to team up for a special conservation project. The Ubins coupled the donation to $20 million they gave the Wildlife Fund, which will help back, among other efforts, the group's attempts to reduce demand for ivory, and with it, the poaching that threatens the Earth's remaining elephants. Cary is counting on new technology to save money, making it easier to find parking. Someday soon, Cary residents could have a high-tech way to communicate with the town when the garbage truck slips their homes, leaving a full bin of trash at the curb. Instead of calling or emailing customer service, residents could speak to an Amazon Echo Dot and say, "Alexa, tell the town of Cary they missed my trash pickup." A work order would be processed and crews would make a special trip to collect the trash. Now, Cary, home to tech companies like SAS and Trilliant, and a short commute to RTP Park, is experimenting with new technology that aims to make people's lives easier, save money, and use less energy. The Town Hall campus now serves as a living jot lab for partner companies. Well, the new tax law is likely to accelerate a hotly disputed trend in the United States economy by rewarding workers who sever formal relationships with their employers and become contractors. Management consultants may soon strike out on their own, and stockbrokers may hang out their own shingle. More capable repairmen and delivery drivers, some of whom find work through gig economy apps like Uber, may also be lured into contracting arrangements. That's because a provision in the tax law allows sole proprietors, along with owners of partnerships and other pass-through entities, to deduct 20% of their revenue from their taxable income. The tax savings, which could be around $15,000 a year for the more affluent couples, may prove enticing to workers. If you're above the median, but not at the very, very top, one would think you'd be thinking it through. So said David Kamen, a professor of tax law at New York University. The provision may also turn out to be a boon for employers who are trying to reduce their payroll costs. Workers hired as contractors, who tend to be cheaper, may be less likely to complain about their status under the new tax law. At the Raleigh-Durham Airport Authority board meeting on December 21, Michael Langeth, president and CEO of the authority, became emotional, even crying and choking on his words, when recounting an incident in which RDU employees, police, and EMS saved the life of a passenger who suffered cardiac arrest after boarding an airplane. Reportedly, qualified first aid responders did CPR on the victim, maintaining the heartbeat until EMS arrived. This life was saved because of the availability of trained first aid responders at Raleigh-Durham and because of the quality processes established by airport management. Well, a Charlotte-based apartment developer has purchased 4-acre parcel in downtown Durham. Lennar Multifamily Communities, that's a subsidiary of national home builder Lennar, purchased the property, which is located at 411 South Roxborough Street. They bought it from a Durham Partnership Group, LLC, for $13.5 million. The South Roxborough Street property has an already approved site plan that would allow for a development of more than 200,000 square feet of office space, 9,000 square feet of retail, and 200 apartments. The site plan also allows for a 155-room hotel with 20 condominium units and an additional 99,750 square feet of hotel or multifamily units. That's according to CBRE Raleigh, which represented the seller. But Jeff Harris, divisional president for the Carolinas at Lennar Multifamily, said the firm is going to rework the already approved site plan. Savings accounts, which have paid out almost nothing for the past 10 years, could get more interested in 2018 as yields rise and investors scramble for higher returns. That could be bad news for certain banks. Savings account yields haven't risen much since the Federal Reserve started lifting interest rates. As the Fed keeps tightening in 2018, more banks will raise deposit rates and savers will respond by rushing to the banks to pay the most. That is what happened in the last tightening cycle in the mid-2000s. Banks moved slowly at first, gradually accelerating as rates moved higher. This time, banks might have to be more aggressive because it is easier than ever for savers to move cash electronically to high-yielding competitors like Capital One and American Express. Analysts at Keefe, Bayette & Woods estimate that banks will pass along 34% of the rise in the Fed's target rate to savers in 18, up from 15% in 2017. As a result, most banks will still be net beneficiaries of higher rates, but the impact will be uneven. For the first time in years, investors in bank stocks will have to look hard at the liability side of bank balance sheets. How much banks need to pay for deposits will determine the profitability and the growth rate of the bank. Well, caution does guide the 2018 strategies. As 2017 came to an end, the good news for commercial real estate investors was that values were near peak levels in many markets throughout the world, putting in the black most anything they bought in the past 8 years. The bad news as 2018 begins, that is, values in many markets throughout the world are near their peak. That is going to make buying property this year particularly tricky. The biggest challenge is going to be finding attractive places to put new money to work, so said Brian Kingston, who's the CEO of Brookfield Property Group, one of the world's largest real estate investors. He goes on to say investors need to be cautious about the prices they are paying. Add to that the likelihood that interest rates are going to rise this year, and 2018 is shaping up to be particularly precarious. Tech stocks surge into the new year. The NASDAQ Composite Index closed above 7,000 for the first time Tuesday after racing to a fresh 1,000-point milestone in just over 8 months. That's a pace it's not seen since the height of the dot-com technology boom. Many global stock indexes have hit records or multi-year highs in recent months, lifted by signs of a pickup in economic expansion around the world. The NASDAQ has risen faster than other major U.S. indices over the past year as investors, frustrated with low interest rates and tepid global growth, bet on the prospects of large tech companies such as Apple, Microsoft. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and please be sure to listen next time. I'm Bob Sutherland, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They have served our community so well since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org.